This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 11th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Illinois House Democrats began a series of budget hearings last night, and they got an earful. Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford will talk about the first hearings. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. Prospects for the future of Rantoul's Chanute Air Museum have improved with the help of donations the last couple of weeks. But the 2008 schedule will be lighter than in years past. Museum President Jim Eldridge says the annual air show planned for June has been canceled, citing an uncertainty over state grant dollars. The facility had been in danger of closing due to a lack of state money and lower attendance the past few months. But Eldridge says there's been a strong response to a plea for donations from both museum members and the community. But he says gifts from Central Illinois residents have been particularly generous.
Locally and in the area, it's very heartening and encouraging to us because it lets us know that there's a lot of people out there that care, you know, because this would be quite a cultural loss to the area, I think. And a lot of people, I think, are beginning to support us in that idea.
Eldridge now says Chanute is on the road to raising the $24,000 necessary to stay afloat. The museum's problem started last summer when staff was forced to dip into reserves to promote last year's air show. Chanute also failed to receive a state grant for that show, although grants for both years are still listed as pending. Eldridge says the museum is restructuring its board with a focus on fundraising, with the plans to seek out funds from various corporations. Another former employee of Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is scheduled to be on the stand today in the trial of political fundraiser Tony Rezko. Robert Wildebor has more.
When she worked for the governor, Jennifer Thomas kept track of the resumes that people sent in for state jobs. She told jurors that when resumes came in from Rezko, she dropped what she was doing. The testimony goes to the question that attorneys have been sparring over for the last few days. Just how close were Tony Rezko and the governor? Prosecutors say Rezko used his influence with the governor to control state boards and get bribes. But defense attorneys are downplaying Rezko's influence. Yesterday, they spent hours showing how lengthy the governor's process is for vetting board members. They pointed out that the process includes recommendations, references, questionnaires, and background checks by private law firms, the governor's lawyers, and the Illinois State Police. That extensive process is at odds with the prosecution's contention that Rezko controlled who was picked. I'm Robert Wildebor.
The Champaign School Board voted 6-0 last night to establish an alternative high school program for teenagers who don't do well in a traditional classroom setting. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
When the Academic Alternative Academy was presented as an evening-only program last November, Unit 4 school board members like Christine Chalifou said it needed more work.
The last proposal I was very much against. I just didn't think it was thought out enough. This one, even though it's a lot more, I'm very positive about.
A lot more means the revised proposal will cost a lot more money, about $590,000 a year, or triple the cost of the original proposal. Assistant Superintendent Michael McFarland says one reason for the higher cost is the difference in staffing.
The Academic Evening Academy was based upon extra duty pay. People who are already hired, already working full-time, we were paying them extra duty pay. This program, however, is designed on hiring full-time personnel and also working during an 8 and in some cases 9-hour.
The Academic Alternative Academy will target high schoolers whose reasons for doing poorly in school range from boredom with traditional classes, the trouble maintaining a regular class schedule. At the academy, students will have flexible scheduling, lots of counseling, and class options including online learning and work study. The new program begins in the fall. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Canadian National Railway is offering to spend $40 million for overpasses in Chicago suburbs that face major increases in freight train traffic under its plan to purchase the Elgin, Joliet, and Eastern Railway. In a letter from CN President E. Hunter Harrison, the U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, and Representative Melissa Bean, the railroad also pledged to cap Amtrak's costs for the use of CN tracks. The railroad said the move should calm fears that passenger service south to Champaign, Springfield, Carbondale, and other Illinois cities would be jeopardized by increased traffic on the EJ&E line. The CN seeks to buy the EJ&E, which skirts the Chicago area from Waukegan to Joliet and Gary, for $300 million. If the Federal Surface Transportation Board approves the deal, freight traffic would quadruple through many suburbs. Indiana lawmakers began the final week of the session with key lawmakers reporting little progress toward a compromise on their top priority, property tax relief and reform. The General Assembly has until midnight Friday to pass a plan. Governor Mitch Daniels has warned lawmakers that if they fail to pass one on time that meets his criteria, he will call them back for a special session to keep working. Polls in Indiana are open until 6 this evening for the special election, deciding whether the grandson of the late Julia Carson will replace her in Congress. Democrat Andre Carson is facing Republican John Elrod. The winner will represent the 7th District for the rest of the year. The district covers most of Indianapolis. Election officials say a handful of polling places failed to open at 6 a.m., but precinct inspectors were working to get them open. A brand-new 6-unit apartment building in Urbana marks a turning point for the Housing Authority of Champaign County. The authority manages more than 400 low-income residential units, as well as an extensive Section 8 rental voucher program. But the purchase of the apartments on High Street marks the first new property for the authority since 1980. Director Ed Bland says these apartments will be reserved for those 50 and over, but he says the authority needs to buy more units to serve a growing waiting list of families.
70% of our present inventory is actually senior housing at this time. So I would say the next 150-some units, we will have a few senior units in there, but most of it will be around family units, because we do have that population within our community of families that need affordable housing.
Bland expects the next wave of authority-owned housing will be in the form of smaller buildings scattered in traditional neighborhoods. He says smaller clusters of units don't attract the disruptive activity that's marked other public housing. The Housing Authority can also accept tax-deductible donations of property. For the latest newscast online, go to wyol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Foster. Illinois House Democrats last night kicked off a series of statewide hearings that will continue through this month. While the state is feeling the financial pinch, those who testified say lawmakers need to find ways to provide more money to numerous causes. Sean Crawford reports.
If the hearings are designed to come up with a blueprint for a new state budget, they're more likely to become a long list of wants and needs from dozens of advocates, and in most cases, little help in how to pay for it all. In Decatur, site of one of the first events, those who work in everything from education to health care to construction were on hand, making their best pitch. Marge Oblinger runs a nursing home in Mount Zion.
Everybody wants their piece of the pie, you know, and it's difficult, but, you know, to hear everyone else. But I think that our senior citizens need to come first.
Few would argue there are plenty of worthy causes, including schools. Whether it's preschool or college, public education relies heavily on state funding. Gloria Davis is superintendent of Decatur Public Schools. She says last year's record legislative overtime session resulted in a delay in getting money to schools. She says it's hard to make decisions in her district when no one can predict how soon a state budget will be passed.
The whole process right now of leaving school districts in the dark and not knowing from one month to the next what your budget will be. We can't run our homes like that. We can't run our businesses like that. And so, as you heard me say, I implore the legislators to let us know what the funding is going to be. At this point, it's just to know what it's going to be.
While some have raised the specter of tax hikes, Davis says she simply wants lawmakers and the governor to put aside their differences and get to work. Bob Flyder, a Decatur House Democrat, hosted the budget hearing and says he's optimistic a deal can get done on time, but he says it's likely lawmakers could bypass the governor's budget proposal and put together their own.
Well, the governor, from my standpoint, put together a lot of great ideas, but didn't really talk about how we're going to pay for them. Didn't, you know, the pieces of the puzzle left a big blank hole in terms of how they'd be funded or how, you know, we'd pay for these programs. So from my standpoint, we really do need to do our own homework.
Flyder says Governor Rod Blagojevich's revenue ideas, such as leasing the state's lottery and raising business taxes, have fallen to defeat in the General Assembly before. Blagojevich also wants to increase access to health care, provide a tax credit for families, and a tax break for some employers. If lawmakers reject the governor's ideas, it could set the stage for another long, drawn-out summer at the state capitol. But there seems to be one area all agree on, the need for a statewide construction program for schools, roads, and bridges. The problem, of course, remains how to pay for it. Taxes and gambling are some of the options. No matter what direction the legislature goes, labor groups say it has to get done. Sean Stott is with the AFL-CIO. He says those who work in the construction industry are struggling.
People are not going to work as early in the springtime. They're not working as consistently throughout the summer, which is the peak of the construction season, and the construction season is winding down earlier. So, they're seeing less work throughout the year, and when they are working during the construction season, the work is spottier.
While Democrats are hosting the hearings, Republicans are invited as well. GOP House member Bill Mitchell of Forsyth says the hearings provide a chance to listen to those who feel direct impact from the state's budget, and they might do some good.
Well, I'm hopeful that this is some benefit. I hope it's not a dog and pony show. I mean, we did this several years ago. I mean, if the Speaker and the Governor and the President of the Senate want to get it done on time, they can get it done on time.
But few anticipate an easy road ahead for budget talks. Differences in policies and personalities have made it seemingly impossible for the state's leaders to sit down together and reach a compromise. While the budget hearings will continue across the state, billed as a way to increase transparency in the budget-making process, nobody seems able to see through the political mess at the Capitol and how it will finally be decided. I'm Sean Crawford.
In the forecast for the region, sunny skies, the high around 52 degrees, partly cloudy this evening, the low around 32. Well, partly sunny skies tomorrow, the high around 58, mostly cloudy Wednesday evening, the low around 42, mostly cloudy Thursday, a chance of rain, the high around 58 degrees. For Thursday night and Friday, mostly cloudy skies, the low around 35, the high around 52. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 11th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.